Leave Your Excuses After the Beep, a podcast created for anyone who has ever used an excuse to not do something that you said you would. Does this sound familiar?
From busy, overworked, stressed out moms to thriving moms, wives, and health coaches, Kitty Clemens and Kyla McComas are Midwest moms who are breaking down excuses and empowering others to do the same.
Listen in to hear which of our excuses we break down next. I'm Kyla McComas.
And I'm Kitty Clemens. Leave Your Excuses After the Beep with Kitty and Kyla, and we have officially kicked off the month of February. So what is so exciting about February, Kyla?
Kitty, not only is it the love month and all that stuff, but there's a lot of things about just, just loving you and yourself and like, taking care of yourself. And I've seen some things around there that is like Feb, you, like Y-O-U, Aerie, like.
Ooh, being nice.
Yeah, like, so make February about you. And, of course, we are all about the health here. And so February is just that. It's heart month. So all things heart, which basically controls your whole body. Kitty can, go a little deeper in that with her nursing degree. But so just share a little bit with that, the definition of the cardiovascular and the heart of you, Kitty.
Definition. Oh boy. I don't know about any formal definitions, but yes, February has been deemed by the American Heart Association as American Heart Health Month. So what do we do during February? We promote heart healthy activities and actions. Some of that are the things that we talk about all the time, improving your health by lowering your weight to a healthy weight, by increasing activity, by eating healthier. When it comes to heart health, they really focus on salt and fat intake. So being conscious of, are you heavy on the salt? Do you add salt to everything or do you add salt to nothing? Do you add lots of extra saturated fats into what you're cooking or are you conscious of that? So some different things like that. But I think the most important aspect of Heart Health Month is just that awareness that it offers to remind people to know your numbers. And what the heck does that mean? Know Your Numbers is a campaign that was put out by the American Heart Association a number of years ago, basically encouraging people to own up to what your current state of health is. So if you haven't been to the doctor within the last year, it would be beneficial for you to go and to have some basic lab work done and vital signs and just an overall assessment. Heart disease, including cerebrovascular disease or the risk of strokes, are a couple of diseases that can be relatively silent, quote unquote, as they call them. And the reason why is because you could be suffering from potential backlash of cardiac disease for years and not ever know it until you have a catastrophic event, such as a heart attack or a stroke. Because those incidents are caused by typically a buildup of plaque somewhere in your artery or vessels that breaks off and dislodges itself in an artery in your heart or your brain, causing death of the tissue wherever that occludes. So it is quite apparent that these things can happen. And we all know somebody that has had sudden cardiac arrest or a debilitating stroke. you know, strokes come in varying degrees, as do heart attacks. But we're seeing a lot of heart attacks in younger people, and they don't always have great outcomes. So it's important to know your numbers. If you have elevated cholesterol levels, if you have elevated blood pressure numbers, those are things that your provider can monitor and offer suggestions on how to improve those, whether that's with a medication or lifestyle changes, perhaps just increasing your activity or adjusting your diet could be of assistance with that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that, Kyla? Any thoughts on the Know Your Numbers campaign? What's your personal experience with that? Do you know your numbers?
Do I know my numbers? It just so happened, and I didn't even like correlate it until I was chatting with Kitty, but it just so happened that I decided that it was time for me just to check where I'm at. And I'm a big person that if I have to be like extremely sick or something to go to the doctor. And that is even to go to the doctor, even if I feel great, which like you were just referring to know your numbers, and, or just, you know, your yearly checkup. So, the last time I was at a doctor was, well, he yelled at me and said, I hope I'll see you, you know, next year at this time. But anyways, it's been over 3 years. And, even at the beginning, when I decided to, you know, take this journey of just living a healthier lifestyle, and I didn't even know much then. I don't even know like what blood type I was. I didn't even know what, you know, if I was feeling like overly tired. Like I thought that was just being a mom. Like, but there's a lot of like things with that. I thought, just maybe some pain or something was just gonna like go away and stuff. But obviously I have been doing a lot of changes with, from fitness to, a healthy weight, and all that, all those things have come into play. So today I did just that, where I, went in for my physical and I got my blood pressure done, and I got, blood work done and all those things. So overall, you know, just walking in there, I checked, you know, checked it off well. And then, so I'm just waiting to hear back from my blood work, which I would be really shocked if, you know, something came through, but that I think right there is the trigger. Like just once a year, just know your numbers like once a year, because you just never know internally. I wouldn't be surprised if my iron is low. So, and that's come throughout even pregnancy and stuff like that. But so I'm going to be curious on that, but I'm aware of that now, because I have noticed, you know, sometimes when I'm very like tired or, you know, all those things that iron helps you do, but it's just that simple. Like, just be like, hey, I'm going to go in for my checkup, blood pressure, iron levels. I mean, they can test everything, cholesterol, thyroids, triglycerides, is that right, Kitty? Am I saying that right? Yeah. Like all those things, like they can test all those things. And a lot of times that's included in your insurance too, like your wellness. Yes.
So I was just going to say that, you know, for even people that have, you know, personal deductibles that seem extremely high, a lot of times that physical definitely is included in your insurance benefits, typically for preventative health. And then usually there's something in regard to your labs too. And if it's not covered, there are a lot of kind of standalone clinics that offer those as just kind of like a pay for service thing, where they'll draw your labs and then you can take those results to your doctor for interpretation. So there's lots of ways around it to get those results. And I feel like, regardless of what it costs, it's something that's important if you're, looking for the longevity, especially if you have any sort of familial history of heart disease. Like if anyone in your family has had heart attack, if they take blood pressure medicines, if they're on cholesterol medicine, if anything or a stroke, then you should really be concerned regardless of your age. I feel like, you know, the younger you are, when you know your numbers, the more that you can, just be an active participant in your healthcare moving forward.
And like I said, like, you know, I would always be like, why do they need to know like my family, you know, like family history? Like it was always like, why? You know, like, and I know some of those things carry over some of the, but now that you think of it, it's like, yeah, well, you want to do everything to prevent that. And a lot of times just taking care of your nutrition, being active, you know, those sort of things will help those, all those things that we just listed off. I mean, there's some things that unfortunately are not done just through nutrition and exercise, but it knocks off a lot of things concerning your health. So I think that's the biggest thing. So what, with that, what are some things that we can do just simply, make that appointment, whether you like to go to the doctor or not.
Exactly. First step, make an appointment. If you haven't been in within the last year or 18 months, make an appointment. Figure out what your numbers are.
In the meantime, you know, sometimes they just will do the basics, but if you feel like, you know, you want more, like, you know, press for that too, you know, ask for more or know what your insurance covers if it's not something that's, you know, in your budget. And, I did a freestanding blood work a couple of years ago, and I think it was like around like $100 to get more in debt too, like the more in debt blood work, because I know some places are just your basics, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, know your numbers, get your appointment. But things in the meantime and before and after all that stuff, could do a few things that could help. So
definitely the next one would be, if you're a smoker, stop smoking. I mean, I feel like we talked about this a couple episodes ago about how, like, when we were setting New Year's resolutions, how, you know, when I was growing up, the people in my circle, so some like different adults and stuff, their goals were always, I'm going to stop smoking this year. And it was like just this thing that people did. And you don't, I mean, hear or see it a ton. At least I feel like I don't. And maybe that has to do with, you know, your whole surrounding piece too. But if you are a smoker, you are increasing your risk of all of the things. And that includes vaping. There's a huge misunderstanding that people think that vaping is safer than cigarettes. And I mean, as a healthcare professional, no, no. We are seeing so many concerns with vaping, and especially in, you know, younger adults who, oh, I don't smoke, I vape, da, da, da. And they're coming in and their lungs are struggling. And their only contact or issue would be the fact that they vape. So vaping is not safer, but that's a whole nother soapbox. So stop smoking if you're a smoker. We already talked a little bit about salt intake, right? So limit your sodium consumption. Mm-hmm. And that's something as simple as, you know, stop intentionally salting things on your plate. Like if you cook with it, okay, fine. But don't add more salt. Most things already have enough of it. Challenge yourself to find some salt-free options, different options that don't have salt. Season with other things. And there are salt-free like products out there, like the Mrs. Dash seasonings and things like that, that are intentionally marketed toward that specific thing. So that would be that. And then I think just moving your body, you know, this time of year is always the time of year too. I don't know if they did this or if your kids do this, but we have the jump rope for heart challenge with our kids that the American Heart Association sponsors. And it's all about just encouraging kids to do things that are going to keep them moving and active and just developing healthier habits. So that whole movement piece, but I wanted to just highlight about the whole exercise. Like, we know that there's benefits to exercise, but most of us have a negative association with exercise. We feel like, how can exercise be good when I feel like I'm dying during the process? And I just want to say that there are lots of ways that you can incorporate exercise. It's not a one size fits all, right? It's not a cookie cutter thing where in order to find success with exercise, you have to spend 30 minutes sprinting on the treadmill or doing burpees or whatever terrible thing that you can think of when you think of exercise, but rather, what is something that you can just be consistent with that's going to get you moving and get your heart rate up a little bit? So something as simple as walking, just walk. Getting 10,000 steps a day is more effective than most exercise regimens, because when you have a target of consistent steps, 10,000 steps a day, that's everyday movement. When people have an exercise goal, they usually exercise 3, maybe 5 days a week if they're super motivated. And it might be for 30 to 40 minutes or 50, you know, maybe an hour. So 3 to 4 hours out of their entire week, they are moving their bodies. But we live in such a sedentary society that that 1 hour of activity isn't super helpful. It doesn't negate all of the negative effects of sitting for as much as we do. So if we're able to just wrap our head around just being more active throughout your day and accumulating those steps, however you get that, whether that's walking, running, jogging, or just walking, it's better than your extended periods of time in the gym that you're not consistent with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Tell me if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. And, you know, coming from, well, busy moms, but, you know, coming from my side of things too, just being a busy mom, I actually shared a little bit this last night, but, that we get so caught up in the whole, like, we don't got enough time to walk, or we don't have, the place to walk, or, you know, the list can go on. And, yesterday, with just, you know, kids being, you know, sick, and Justin working, me trying to work, like all that stuff, we had to shift some things around. But I found that, you know, even when it was the 15 minutes of my kid actually, you know, falling asleep or getting his nap in, getting some rest in, I was like, okay, you know, Justin, I'm going to go walk, or okay, you know, whatever it was, like, just find those increments. Like, even if you have a job that requires you to be, you know, in front of a computer or something like that all day, like, same thing there, like, get up and just make it 10 minutes. And I always say, like, don't cigarette smokers get like a 10 minute break that's included in half of these jobs, you know, like,
right. When you stop smoking, use that break to walk.
We'll use that break to walk. Right. So what I was saying to that is, like, we don't need to find hours a day. We don't need to find, you know, that, oh, I don't have enough time in my day. Well, you do, you just have to prioritize it, you know, accordingly, right. but yes. Find that time and just walk for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. And it might have to be spaced out. It might have to be morning and then, you know, afternoon or something, but
right. Get those. Yeah. It doesn't have to be consecutive. It doesn't have to be, oh, you go walk 10,000 steps all at one time.
Yeah. No,
that's, I mean, probably not going to happen. I would say another thing that would be helpful is figure out where you're starting from. You know, how many steps are you having? Are you getting right now? And maybe going from, you know, 3,000 to 10,000 seems a little daunting. So just increase by 1,000 steps every couple of days to every week until you build your way up. And you'll find once you start to do it, like every other habit we talk about, it's going to become more consistent and you're going to get better at prioritizing those steps earlier in the day. And that's just good for your long-term longevity and heart health. So.
And I can speak to that too, because I did a cut. So I did my whole in-body testing too. Why not just do them both, right? Blood work and in-body. And I will say that I owe a lot of it to getting my steps in, because before I found, like, you know, I was working out, I was, you know, nutrition, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was getting that stuff in, but I wasn't getting to, you know, knock off some of the goals that I was, you know, trying to reach. But all of a sudden, when I decided to, you know, get steps in for the last couple of weeks, it's been like, it's been a game changer, in the sense of I'm seeing the things that I've been wanting to see actually come to light. So, so that's just another thing. Like, if steps are important, even if you exercise for 2 hours a day, like have a fitness routine or something, it's like, no, steps are important. So
yeah, exactly.
So anyway, so, all in all, this is February. This is Heart Month. And know your numbers, or find a way to know your numbers. There's even other ways, like, you know, Kitty and I were talking, maybe not exactly like numbers as far as blood work, but like doing like an InBody or DEXA and stuff like that, that can help you in other ways too. Not just like your blood pressure and stuff, but you can even go to Walmart and get your blood pressure done. So that's a good start. You know? Right. So yes. Know your numbers. Yes. Just do the little things. It's important, because, you know, if anything that we can prevent now for a healthy future, that's what we're here for. So do it.
Exactly. Make this month about you and your heart.
February.
Love it.
All right. Happy Heart Month.
Happy Heart Month. We'll chat soon.